Juice Radio. I'm Mega Faulted Your Mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
So I was thinking we try out something like this instead.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked.
The worst opening ever.
Oh, man. All right, welcome to Geek Juice Radio. Tonight we've got me, Alex Drowski. Charlie.
Hey there.
We've got Tom Bad Guy.
Make it so.
And Kevin Daly.
Twitter, you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Indeed.
Actually found an adults-only version called water.
Delicious.
That's
and
little...
nutritious.
Yeah.
There's also Sit on My Facebook.
That Wait, I got one. There's also Touch MySpace.
There's YouLube.com. That's not bad.
So tonight we're doing a game.
I will win.
I will lose.
I might win.
Of just random top 10 lists, obviously associated with our theme of geek culture. And here's the deal. I'm going to give you the topic of the top 10 list. You each need to guess what number one is, and the closest to whatever number one was wins that list.
Yay!
I am ready for this.
I will kick your ass.
And each list is worth 1 point, I'm guessing?
Yes.
1 point being equal to a shiny buffalo nickel.
And the winner at the end gets a prize.
Oh, really? Nice. It better not be a date with Martha.
And our first list...
might be a date with Jowski. Could be work.
Dear God, I don't want to win.
Topic is movies. The list is the top 7 Matthew Lillard performances.
The top 7 best?
Top 7 best Matthew Lillard performances.
Okay, my guess is Salt Lake City Punk.
That was going to be my guess as well.
What's that new movie out that he's the...
Spooner?
No, he's in the George Clooney movie, The Descendants. I'm going to go with The Descendants.
Okay.
And Tom?
SLC Punk was mine because I remember Charlie talked about it last time.
Did you watch it?
No.
So you're voting in complete ignorance?
I'm voting in for the fact that, here's what you have to compare to, 13 Ghosts and Wing Commander. I'm going to go with SLC.
Also, you left out the opus, the magnum opus, that is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
My only familiarity with Matthew Lillard, I've actually never seen the Scooby-Doo movies. The only one I've ever seen him in is Scream. So,
I see.
Yeah, there's that.
All right, here's the results. Number 7, Scooby-Doo. Number 6, it's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas Movie.
Yeah.
Number 5, Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Oh, Jesus.
Number 4 is Without a Paddle.
Oh my God.
In the...
Number 3 is 13 Ghosts.
What?
Number 2 is Scream. Number 1 is The Descendants.
Oh!
Hey!
Oh!
Next is the category is comics.
Yay.
I'm screwed.
And we're going with the top 10 non-white superheroes.
Non-white superheroes, who the best one is? I'm going with Luke Cage.
I know. Storm. Okay. Yeah, I knew you were going to pick that, and then I was like...
Well, oh, you did!
If Kevin picks Storm, I'm going to pick Luke Cage. Then you said Luke Cage. So I don't want to choose one of them, so let me try to think.
Though, my personal preference is Black Panther. I think the list will have Storm.
I'm going to say Blade. I'm just going to say Blade.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Okay, that is a good one.
All right, here we go. Results are... Number 10 is El Gato Negro. Number 9 is Black Lightning.
That's DC, right?
It is.
Number 8 is the Falcon. The Black Falcon.
All I can think of is the robot chicken. the superhero.
Yeah. I always think of the thing on Dexter's Lab where they made fun of the Blue Falcon, was it?
Yeah. Oh, don't be sad. You guys will do better next season.
Yeah.
The Blue Falcon.
The Blue Falcon.
Number 7, Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Right. Not black, but not white.
He's not white. You gotta give him that.
Number 6, the character of Milestone Comics. Not familiar with, but they...
I have no idea what that is.
Never heard of that.
I have a passing familiarity.
Number 5 is Storm.
Yeah.
Oh. That's down low, actually.
Number 4 is Green Lantern, Jon Stewart.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I knew
which lantern was he?
The black one.
He was between...
Obviously, he's a black lantern. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on the list.
Oh, no, there's a difference. between there's a difference between being the Black Green Lantern and the Black Lantern. There is a difference.
But he
right.
He,
well,
he
the Black Lantern is the Death one, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he came between Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Number three was Spawn, L. Simmons.
All right, right.
Number two is Luke Cage.
Mm.
Yeah.
And number one is Black Panther.
Oh.
I should have gone with my gut. That's my life, my heart.
Never doubt your instincts.
So you won, Charlie. Yep, you won that one.
Charlie. No Blade on the list at all. That's harsh.
Damn.
That's all I could think. I should have thought of the Green Lantern there. I
totally should have gone with a Black Panther. I don't know.
I thought Black Panther was like too obvious.
Yeah, but
I'm not thinking fourth dimensionally.
This one takes checking to find because I forgot to send myself the link to it.
Oh, and wait. If it ain't blue, I ain't gonna click it.
Yay! I doubt Alex is gonna keep that part in.
If that right, link is not blue, there's no way possible.
Alex will only cut and edit for things he likes.
Oh yeah, like the biased Indiana Jones 4 cut from the last episode.
Hey, yeah.
Where it made it look like we all agreed on how bad Indiana Jones 4 was.
All right, next list topic is video games. Top 10 most useless weapons.
Okay.
Of all time?
Yeah, in any video game.
Okay. This is really...
The claw, but GoldenEye. There we go.
This is really reaching, and Kevin, I think you might be the only one who could back me up on this, but the hurling wads of paper in the Friday the 13th Nintendo.
Is that what that's supposed to be?
That's exactly what it was. It was a wad of crumpled up paper.
Okay. Yes, those are incredibly useless.
Is it worthless weapons or weapons and upgrades?
Just weapons.
Okay, I'm going to go with the staff from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the NES game.
Okay. That's a good one, too. Yeah. I still like my clob.
Right. The clob sucks. It really does.
It's terrible.
Results, we've got the flamethrower from Dead Space.
Never played it.
Played it, so I...
The leaf shield from Mega Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's useful in certain bosses.
Until you move.
And you need it at the very end of the game when you're going through those platforms that move around in Wily's Castle. I just played this game like a month ago. You use to put the leaf shield on it, the things that come out the sides will bounce off the leaf shield and die.
Yeah,
so you don't get
knocked
to the spikes.
I'd say it's pretty useful, and how dare they put Mega Man 2 on like a bad list of anything from that game.
We have Red Rust from Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Oh yeah, that is a pretty useless weapon.
I've not played that game, so
it's like every stat's like one or something. Like it's
the giant knife from Ocarina of Time.
Oh yeah, that thing just breaks when you hit something with it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't that the sword that looks pretty badass and then just explodes?
That just sucks.
that was a big knife.
The stick from Fable.
The first Fable?
The first Fable.
Oh, the one I don't like, of course.
Apparently it's the first weapon.
It's the one you get for doing nothing.
And since you can't drop weapons in that game, you can never get rid of Stick. Ever.
You always have Stick.
Stick
loves you. It's like the companion cube.
The tree branch for the entire game.
Stuck.
Yay.
Just taking up a weapon slot. The cloaking device from Super Smash Bros. Melee.
I don't know. I've seen that used pretty effectively before.
I can't imagine you falling off a lot while cloaked.
Yeah, if you're good, though. My brother and my friends back in Cali, they're all really good at Smash Brothers, and I've seen them use that pretty effectively.
Number four, Stinger Grenade from SWAT 4.
Did not play SWAT 4. So.
Oh, SWAT 4. I bet you that item was made famous by spooning.
Jackhammer from Worms Armageddon.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Worms is an awesome game, though.
Just number two is the clob. You can run around dual-wielding them, shouting, "It's clobbering time," and then you'll die.
Then you'll die to the guy chopping you with his bare hand because the clob is that awful.
Number one is TK's Wave from Borderlands. But technically, you can...
Okay, I really, really don't like this list. Because it's most of it's like new games, and when they go back to old school games, it's something super popular.
Like
I really don't like it. The staff in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde does nothing at all. You try to hit anything with it, and it does nothing.
Same with the paper from Friday the 13th.
Exactly.
But you gotta admit, as far as like a mainstream list, the clob is pretty damn useless.
No, the clob, yeah. The clob
but
is like...
If you had a clob, and I had a wadded up ball of paper, I'm losing that fight.
I don't know. Have you played GoldenEye recently?
It's pretty inaccurate.
I might take the paper in that fight.
Would you say, actually I'm not sure, Because I think the judo chop is probably more useless than the club. Because at least the club, even though it's inaccurate, it's long range. But that judo chop, you can't kill anybody with it.
The thing is, you get the judo chop standard. You don't need to, like, pick it up. When you pick up the club, you go, all right, a gun. Then you promptly die.
That list sucks.
The club is a complete waste of time. I just remember walking over those in Goldeneye going, God damn it, I got the club again.
Dual clubs.
Now we have other is the category.
Wild card.
So I won that one, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and make
Hey, you played Borderlands, Jowski. What's with TK's wave? Explain that to me.
Okay, it shoots very, very slow, and it fans out in this weird up and down wave as if people walked that way. This isn't a game where 90% of the weapons are crap anyway.
So not only is it crap, it's crap out of a long list of crap?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. This random is top 10 worst Halloween candies.
What are those peanut things?
Circus peanuts?
Peanut butter kisses. The little peanut butter taffy things.
Okay. I'm saying candy corn because that shit's disgusting.
I love candy corn.
I'm going to agree with Kevin here. Candy corn is awesome.
Well, I guess you like wax then. Just straight up wax.
Nothing wrong with wax.
Okay.
It's honey flavored wax. Thank you.
I'm going to guess candy necklace because I've been just swarmed by ants because of a candy necklace when I was a boy.
Number 10 is Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, I hate those.
Because they resemble chocolate in the sense that roadkill resembles filet mignon.
Eh. That's a good analogy, yes. Let's go with that.
I have no issue with the Tootsie Roll.
Number 9 is Smarties.
Oh, I like Smarties, even if they do taste like chalk after a while.
Yeah.
Speaking of chalk, number 8 is Necco wafers.
Again, I also like Necco wafers.
Somebody
gives
Necco wafers out.
Necco wafers make Smarties look rich and satisfying.
True story, but I still like Necco wafers.
Number 7 is chocolate coins.
Yeah, because the chocolate's never any good. It's like, ooh, chocolate. Oh, it tastes like crap, yeah.
I actually got more chocolate coins around, like, Christmas and, like, a stocking than I did on Halloween.
Yeah, that's true.
I like what this list has to say about chocolate coins. Their low cost is maintained by replacing the regular ingredients for chocolate with murdered drifters.
That just makes it better.
Although it is slightly anti-Semitic to put them in an Easter basket.
Number 6 is double bubble gum.
Eh.
It's not candy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I like double bubble gum because it tastes pretty good as far as gum goes, but it doesn't last very long.
It's way better for your teeth than Charleston Chew, I'll say that.
The rationalization on this list is that double bubble starts out as tough as concrete and soon replaces diamonds as the world's hardest substance.
I like that, though. But I like chewing on hard things.
Giggity!
That did not come out right at all.
We talk about that stick from Fable again?
Came out fine from here, sir.
5. Jawbreakers.
I don't mind Jawbreakers either.
Because like without, if not for Jawbreakers, we'd be one less Rose McGowan movie.
Number 4 is Good and Plenty.
I don't even...
I've had them, but I don't even remember them.
Good and Plenty is the really colorful pink and white things that look tasty, but then you bite into them and...
Oh, the licorice Mike and Ikes.
Yes, they taste... Yeah, they look like Mike and Ikes. They taste like black licorice.
To be fair, I actually like licorice in small doses, and I love anise-flavored alcohol.
That's well, awesome. It's the white man's conspiracy that black licorice is the worst tasting candy on earth.
I like licorice in moderation when it's Jaeger.
Right. Okay, give credit where credit's due. We wouldn't have Jägermeister if not.
Yeah.
Number 3 is candy jewelry, which includes rings.
Hey, Charlie.
I include the candy necklace in there.
Number 2 is whatever those orange and black things are.
Those are good. Those are good.
Those are the ones I was talking about.
Those rock-hard candies that taste like a mixture of molasses and child abuse?
No, that's not it. They're not like hard candy. The one thing that aren't hard.
I thought it was just peanut butter.
Kevin, are you talking about the peanut brittle things that you would get at a Pentecostal church?
Something. I don't... It's like peanut butter-flavored taffy.
And they're wrapped in wax paper?
Yeah, they're awful.
Number 1, anything that isn't candy.
We're talking about...
I could have said, like, hobo scrotum and I would have won.
Yeah, that's true.
I could find someone who could consider hobo scrotum candy. Probably yeah. another hobo who needs Chowski. Crack. Chowski might consider Hobo Scrotum to be candy.
No.
If that was the hobo's name.
Oh, right.
Who gets that one? Because there was candy jewelry, but the number two was whatever those orange and black things are called. Is that what Kevin was talking about?
No, that's not what I was. It's yours. It's yours, Charlie. The one I'm talking about aren't hard candies, so.
And I can't believe candy corn is nowhere on that list.
Yeah, me neither. Like, seriously.
I
noticed lately they tried to tart up candy corn by making it strawberry flavored.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I'll stick with the regular honey-flavored things.
All right. Now we have movies again.
Huzzah.
You didn't tally up that score. There we go. I'm just saying.
You get nothing!
Yeah.
I think Charlie wants a score check on this one.
Top 9 lamest James Bond villains.
Okay, my guess is Sean Bean as 006.
Lamest? What? Sean Bean. Alec Trevelyan is an awesome character.
No, I have no ill will towards Sean Bean, but that is not the biggest feather in his cap.
It's the first movie I remember seeing him in, like when I was a kid and like younger growing up. It's the first movie where I saw him in it, and I saw him in another movie, and I always revert back to Goldeneye.
Right.
Like whenever you describe Sean Bean, like say somebody's not really into movies, they talk about Sean Bean, I will just say the bad guy in Goldeneye, and people will know what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna go with. Can I just make anything from the last Pierce Brosnan movie, whatever that one was called? Die Another Day, I think, was the last one.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
So we're gonna.
No. Tomorrow Never Dies was okay. That was the second one. Then there was the one with Dr. Christmas Jones.
Oh, yes.
Die Another Day was the bad guy, was that weird Korean who turns into a British guy.
That's the one I'm thinking of with Halle Berry, the last of...
Which one had Jonathan Pryce as the media?
Tomorrow.
That was Tomorrow.
That was Tomorrow. Okay.
Yes. Okay, the villain from Die Another Day, Gustav Graves is the name of the character. I'm going to go with Gustav Graves from Die Another Day because that is by far my least favorite Bond film.
I have to find the name real quick. Hold on. I can't remember the name of it.
Give me the movie. I maybe know the name.
Which one had Robert Carlyle as the guy with the bullet in his head? The world is not enough, yeah.
Oh, I'll find it real quick.
Robert Carlyle just looked like an Eastern European Billy Corgan.
It was the bad one, one of the Timothy Dalton ones, but I can't remember which Timothy Dalton.
Is it Carlos from License to Kill?
Let me see the picture of him real quick. Hold on. Really, I think that's it.
Or is it Joe Don Baker from Daylights?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Anything with Joe Don Baker is the answer. Good God, have you all seen Mitchell? Jesus.
It was the one with Benicio del Toro in it. He was actually like the little henchman and the boss. I think it was Carlos License to Kill. If that's the one with Benicio del Toro in it, I'm pretty sure that it's.
This would be the first I'm learning of that. I never noticed that.
Okay, hold on here.
Yeah, look up Benicio del Toro. We'll find this.
Yeah, I was not aware of Benicio del Toro.
We got time.
It's awesome.
We got time, don't worry.
Starring.
We are searching for Benicio.
Benicio del Toro.
Holy
shit,
you're
Mario.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
Indeed.
Is it wrong that you guys talk about James Bond, the only James Bond song that I got in my head now is View to a Kill, Duran Duran?
It's a good song.
And
I love Duran Duran. Obviously, I'm the new wave guy.
Color Me Racist for jumping to Carlos is the name of the villain in License to Kill, but his name's actually Fran Sanchez.
Is that the guy?
It was Robert Davi from the
Goonies. Yes, Fran Sanchez, yes.
Jowski, you're racist for jumping to Carlos.
Yeah.
I'm going Fran Sanchez, License to Kill, because I just think it's ridiculous that actor was a main villain in a James Bond movie.
The list. Number 9, Kamal Khan from Octopussy.
Yeah, pretty lame. Roger Moore, lame.
Number 8, Carl Stromberg from The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
The guy with his fishies.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7, Brad Whitaker, Living Daylights.
The Living Daylights.
Number 6 is Renard, The World Is Not Enough.
That's the guy.
Number 5 is Maximilian Largo from Never Say Never Again. Not a real Bond film.
Not really.
Number 4, Gustav Graves.
That was mine, right?
Yep.
From stupid Die Another... God, I hate that movie.
Number 3 is Elliot Carver from Tomorrow Never Dies.
That's the Jonathan Pryce one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Though, maybe a worse villain.
Dude looks a lot like Steve Jobs.
Better movie than Die Another Day.
Number 2, Hugo Drax, Moonraker.
Yeah, Roger Moore sucks.
I like Moonraker.
Number 1 is Nick Knack from The Man with the Golden Gun.
What?
Herb Villachez?
I disagree with that.
All right.
Watching Roger Moore chase poor Herve around the room with a chair before stuffing him into a suitcase.
Exactly. That's great television.
That's even more poignant in post 9/11 America.
There are a lot of Roger Moore villains on that list.
So Kevin gets that one for Gustav Graves.
No, yeah. Did you do the Elliot Carver?
No, I had Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think I've made the list yet. What the hell?
No, you have. You are just choking.
I hate very few movies when I walk out of them. Die Another Day was one I was genuinely upset at when I left the theater.
All right,
speaking of good movies, though, I saw The Artist last night. Was awesome.
I imagine it would be.
Everybody should see it.
I would like to see it. Although it kills me that it's not a Coen Brothers movie. Like, I even saw John Goodman in the trailer. I'm like, why is this not by the Coen Brothers?
John Goodman, Malcolm McDowell's in it.
Next topic is comics.
Ugh.
The list is the top 10 comic book villains.
Doctor Doom. If Doctor Doom is not number one, I will...
Joker.
Peter against the wall.
I'm going with the Joker.
Okay. Give me a sec here.
You know what we should probably do going forward here? Let the person in last place get first crack at guessing.
We just did.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying...
You are a prophet, sir.
As an actual rule, go in order of score.
Okay, I'm going to go with Kingpin.
Number 10, Kingpin.
He's on the list, at least.
It's on the list, yeah.
Number 9, Galactus.
Ooh, I like Galactus.
Okay, Galactus is a big guy. I don't think he's one of the top 10 villains.
I don't even know if you can call Galactus a villain, since he's basically just a force of nature that destroys everything.
He is a devourer of worlds.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, out of all comic books, he can't... Not a top 10.
Why don't you ask the Skrull homeworld if Galactus is a good guy?
Hey, they're too busy playing their secret invasion. See what I did there?
see what you did there.
Number 8 is Thanos.
Thanos, yeah.
Thanos.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Too.
Number 7 is Doomsday.
Okay.
Oh, Tom.
Oh.
Number 6 is Doctor Doom.
He is number 1. That is...
Take it easy, man.
You have to agree with that, Charlie. What the
hell? I love Doom. He's probably my personal favorite. I just think that most lists are going to have Joker at number 1.
Well, considering my pick was the 10th, was the first one out of the gate, so I will agree with Tom that Doctor Doom should place higher than number 6.
Number 5 is Green Goblin.
No way.
No. Goblin's boring.
Number 4 is Venom.
Not even a villain!
Well, sometimes you.
Yeah, well, yeah, originally he was, but now he's such a fan favorite, he's basically an anti-hero.
These are just new generation comic book reading writers. That's what these people are.
And when he says writers, he means people that write with their
Yeah.
Ah, you found my secret hobby.
Number 3 is Magneto.
Thank God it snowed last night.
Magneto, okay. I will take Magneto up, like, definitely Magneto top 5, definitely.
I like Magneto. Magneto is complicated and interesting. I think that's why I like Magneto.
Dr. Doom and Magneto are not... neither one of them number one. It's going to be Joker. I know it.
Number 2 is Joker.
I win, but now I really want to know who number 1 is.
Yeah, who the hell's number 1?
If it's Lex... It's Lex Luthor.
It is Lex Luthor.
Oh, bullshit.
Right, video games. Top 10 most perverted old school video games.
Oh, what's the... who was last on that? Kevin, you won. So, Charlie, you get to guess first.
Okay. I don't remember the game, but Kevin and Jowski, and probably Tom, too, you guys could back me up that it does exist. The one where it's like Tetris, only there are naked chicks.
Bubble Bath Babes.
There you go. That's
what I was going to say.
What was the name of it?
Bubble Bath Babes, which is like masturbating to Tetris.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's,
which is not without its virtues in and of itself. I'll say that.
That's the only old school game. Okay, does Leisure
Suit... I'm downloading this now, by the way.
Does Leisure Suit Larry count?
It's on the NES.
I would count Leisure
Suit
Larry.
Yes, Leisure Suit Larry would count.
What about those Atari porn games? Like, is that considered old school? Are we talking about NES? Or...
Yes.
Atari is old school.
That's
Atari
the school that they tore down to build the old school.
Okay. Well, one of the most perverted old school games will be, like, the Atari porn. Because I remember there was Pac-Man porn. AVGN did a thing on it, and so I'm going with Atari porn.
Which one? There's actually more than one Atari on the list.
Well, I don't remember the names of them.
What happened in the game?
Okay, this is what happened in the game. There's a chick going left and right, shooting down lactation, and a naked guy had to catch it with his mouth.
Beat him and eat him.
Yeah.
That's awful.
No, it's the other one. Beat 'em and Eat 'em is the same game, but with the performing.
Yeah.
I am.
Beat 'em and Eat 'em is the one with the man masturbating on the roof and the woman running around catching the spur.
But there's another one that's the same game with the woman lactating down and the dude has to.
I think I'm way out of my element with this list.
Okay, I'll go with Beat 'em and Eat 'em.
Or Connoisseur.
Kevin, did you pick?
Oh, I'm gonna go with Custer's Revenge.
All right.
Sorry, 2600.
Number 10 is Bubble Bath Babes.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
I am knocking him out of the park with picking the most wrong ones.
Yes, and here's one of the screenshots. Bubbling Bubby. Bunny wants you to pop my bubble now. I bet I can make yours burst.
See, how is that not the worst?
Now I'm less turned on. Listening to Jowski read that.
Number 9, Strip Fighter 2 for the TurboGrafx-16.
Ooh.
Oh, okay, so it's not as old school as I thought. We can go 16-bit. I didn't even think about anything like that, but go ahead.
Number 8, Burning Desire for the Atari 2600.
Now, which one was that?
This is the one where you have to pee on fire to save
an island.
I love that one.
And she bites onto your junk, and you lift her away in a helicopter.
Yes, that's a classic. I love
my
that
one. My God.
Number 7 is the Yakuken special for the Sega Saturn.
Wow.
It was, you know how there's games where you play strip poker?
Yeah.
Right.
This was strip rock, paper, scissors.
That's awesome. Not worth it. Not worth buying a game for, but still.
Rochambeau,
awesome.
If you will.
Yes. There we go. Heyo.
Rochambeau-ner.
Number 6 is Gigolo for the Atari 2600.
Yeah. I remember that one.
This is the one where you are a prostitute going door to door.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
May I service you sexually?
And if they said no, they would immediately call the cops.
Tell me about it, sister.
And of course it looked like oatmeal humping. Number 5 is Choaniki for the PlayStation.
That's... Here's the thing with Choaniki. It's super homoerotic, but there's nothing sexual about the game, actually, if you play it. Yes, there is. But it's a bizarre side-scrolling shooter. It's not really intended to be like a sex game. It's not even like Leisure Suit Larry where it's supposed
to... first of all, side-scrolling shooter is a gay sexual position.
Who has actually seen and or played Choaniki?
Not side-scrolling, side-stroke shooter.
You start the game as a 9-story flying man in a Speedo firing lasers out of your Viking hat.
Yes, exactly.
It's a gay Superman.
You swim through the air with naked male people, naked men jumping out at you.
But
you fight off hordes of tiny chariots filled with naked men, rocket-powered dildos, and naked men dragging other naked men using giant naked men as pogo sticks.
How
is it ahead of the game where you pee on buildings?
Okay, this is... Well, because it's the video game adaptation of the ambiguously gay duo.
Yes.
The ambiguously gay duo.
No, these are the out-of-the-closet gay duo.
This is continuing.
All right, continuing. Beat 'em and eat 'em.
Number 4.
Okay. Number 3, Custer's Revenge.
Oh.
Number 2 is Boonga Boonga. Boonga is where you would, it was an arcade game that had a butt, and you would spank this butt, it's a child molester that you're spanking. And then you would take the giant foam fist from next to the game, and you would stick it in the child molester's butt.
Wow.
Okay. How is that not number 1? That seems like...
Okay,
so
you're
like a winner.
That one is pretty much Molest Revolution.
Right.
Number 1, Miss World 96 Nude. It was, you're playing a puzzle game uncovering pictures of a naked lady. Then at points during the game, a little girl's head would appear and shout turning and transform into Dracula. Growling demon heads.
Okay, I don't know that I agree with that. If we're just talking out and out perversion...
These lists are bogus.
Yeah.
You're just mad because I'm winning.
I am mad that you're winning, but... I don't know, because you got 5, I got 2, and Tom is still just choking it.
Shut out.
But I don't agree with the number 1 there. Where's Leisure Suit Larry on the list that belonged on the list?
That should totally be on the list.
Yeah. Well,
all of these games had overt sex and nudity. Leisure Suit Larry was more...
It was more innuendo.
All right. The question was, which is the most perverted game, not the most sexual game?
That's true.
I say a game where you're a giant man on a penis machine fighting penis monsters.
With it's a penis. Simple.
Good dog, I heard you like penises.
I'd say f***ing a child molester is a bit more perverted.
That would be the winner. I can't imagine. It had the peripheral and everything.
Yeah.
It had props.
The 10 most irritatingly impossible old school video games.
Charlie was last, so Charlie gets to go again first again.
Okay. Actually, you guys go ahead. I got to think this through before I go again.
It's going past. Tom, it's your
I check.
Run.
I'm just going to go NES on this one, and I'm going to say Silver Surfer for the NES.
That was the one I was going to pick, so I'm going to go Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Okay, by impossible, if you're talking about ones that that you got bored with because they never ended, I'm going to go with Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
You never beat that?
It just kept going.
All right, the list. Number 10 is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
I like
once that. Once you learn the timing wasn't that bad. It wasn't like it was a, you know, it was a puzzle game. It was a memory game.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say impossible.
Number 9, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the
Yeah, okay.
I beat that game when I was a kid. Fire. I can't call it that hard of a game.
Dude, go back and try to beat those games you beat as a kid now.
I have tried. I can't.
I tried to beat DuckTales, which is the very first game I beat. I was like 8 years old. I can't get past one stage in it now. It's pathetic.
Yeah, oh, I know. When I was a kid, I beat Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2. I can't even get close now. Like, when you're a kid and you play them, you're just like, you think the challenge is fun, but when you're an adult, you're like, this is bullshit.
This offers me nothing. In
pretty much how I felt about it, yeah.
So instead of trying, you're just like complaining, and it's like, this isn't worth my time.
Yeah. I have a job.
Number 8 is Mega Man.
Which one?
The first one.
What?
First one where you got no energy tanks.
Yeah, so? The first one's hard. I couldn't get through the first one.
I know, but if it's a list and even I've beaten Mega Man, then no. I call this entire list into question.
Number 7 is Solomon's Key.
Never played it.
Puzzle game.
I remember
Solomon. IGN did a review of that one. I remember that one.
Number 6, Super Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that game was hard,
yes.
But fun as hell. But I did beat it, too, and I know the easiest way to beat Darth Vader at the end, you just go all the way to the side, and you hold the guard while you swing your lightsaber, and he can't hit you.
I will keep that in mind.
And also, I thought the end of Super Return of the Jedi was way harder than Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, the escape from the Death Star is abusively hard.
I don't think I ever beat that.
I know, I never beat it without cheating, anyway.
I will remember all of this for when I am in hell.
5, Ninja Gaiden.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, that's genuinely difficult.
Number 4, Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, that game is pretty...
Oh, how did I not pick Super Ghosts and Goblins as the
that
hardest?
That one was a pain in the ass.
I remember we stayed, we did in cycle. I had like 5 of my friends over, and we just rotated through them and we died. Each person would take over the controller. After about 12, 15 hours of pounding our heads against it, we finally beat it twice, because you have to go through the game twice. Go through the whole credits. Capcom games usually have a thanks for playing. This one does not. I knocked the game out of the cartridge and threw it out of the SNES and threw it across the room.
Well, the end of Ghosts and Goblins, it just says, congratulations, this game is happy end. Your body is filled with strength, so it's really not worth it.
Yes, I hated Super Ghosts and Goblins. Well, I liked the game. I hated the fact that it was abusively hard and didn't even, like, give you any satisfaction at the end.
It was pretty rough.
Number 3 is Friday the 13th on the NES.
Because your weapon's f***ing paper.
Number 2 is Contra.
Dude, okay. Kind of difficult, but all I have to say is one thing, and that's Konami code. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Number 1 is Battletoads.
Battletoads is hard. How is Silver
Surfer? Yes, it is hard.
This?
Once you get past the speeder bike level, it's fine, though.
So did none of us make the list?
Yeah, Silver Surfer, okay. Charlie, did you ever play Silver Surfer?
Yes, I did.
You just touch anything and you die. That's hard as hell.
Pretty much. But that's something you can get used to, though, if you're in it for the long haul.
These lists are like, I don't know, these lists are like too mainstream.
Hipster Tom is hipster.
Yeah.
I guess.
But yes, Battletoads is pretty difficult.
Yeah, it is.
So no points were awarded for that list.
No, we all sucked eggs on that.
Yeah.
We're going movies. The 10 most annoying sidekicks.
Okay, here we go. I'm gonna have to think about this for a sec. Most of
right, you guys here. We're gonna do this. You guys will decide. You guys will decide for me. Should I do? Should it be the blonde from Temple of Doom or Short Round?
Short Round was fun.
I liked Short Round.
But I hated.
He played Data. You son of a bitch. He played Data.
Okay. Played... Oh, from Goonies?
Yes.
I was thinking Next Generation for a second. I was like, that's not f***ing Short Round.
Brent Spiner was Short Round?
No, that Agent 00 Negative or whatever you say.
No, but I'm sure Brent Spiner could do an impression of Short Round.
All right. Okay, Tom, which is more annoying? Hey, lady, you call him Dr. Jones.
Doll.
Or Indy.
Oh.
I think we
I don't know.
If
she kind of has a sidekick, though. I don't think she does.
No, she was of interest.
It makes you feel better. I was going to take the chick from Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
Well, then, you know what? I'm with you, Kevin. We'll both write it.
I'm going to say Jar Jar Binks.
I'll pick something else, but I'll give you that one, but that's the one I was going to take. So, you were saying if you wondered if she was a sidekick, that's what I was going to pick. So I say, yeah, that's a sidekick.
I picked Jar Jar Binks.
Ooh, good call.
What was Temple of Doom lady's name?
Kate Capshaw played her. I forget.
It was like a man's name?
It was like Bobby or Joey or...
No, it was...
Hey, assholes, you both have Wikipedia. You can look it up.
That is true.
I'm looking it up now.
Excuse me for not taking the coward's way out. Trying to remember with my brain.
Wilhelmina Willie Scott.
Willie.
Snails from Dungeons and Dragons.
Are you talking about Wayans?
The Wayans brother?
Yeah, yep. Marlon Wayans.
Yep. I'll do Snails from Dungeons and Dragons for my wife producer's request.
Surprised you didn't pick Polly from Rocky, but okay.
I like Polly. How about Polly's robot?
Yeah.
Number 10, Benjamin Buford Bubba Blue.
Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
What?
I like Bubba. And the character's in the movie for all of 10 minutes.
Already. Your lists suck.
Number 9, yeah, is Chewbacca.
We already know.
What?
No, not Chewbacca. Chewbacca's badass and always...
No, this is a horrible list. Oh my god.
I'm going to go against the grain and say yes, Chewbacca was annoying.
Well, that's what you get.
This comes from someone who's played Star Wars The Old Republic for about 300 hours now. And,
yeah, but that's not Chewbacca, though. Those are different Wookiees.
It's the same noise.
That's racial profiling, Kevin.
All Wookiees sound the same to me.
Every scene involving Chewbacca is like trying to watch a movie that's been put through a wood chipper.
All right, we'll agree to disagree on this one.
Number 8, Gollum.
What?
I don't consider Gollum a sidekick.
Sidekick?
Why? He's a villain.
He has those great scenes where he's arguing with himself. I love those scenes.
Number 7 is David Levinson, from Independence Day.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I'm anything with Jeff Goldblum is annoying.
No.
Yep.
Jeff Goldblum's awesome.
Jeff Goldblum is awesome.
I hate Jeff Goldblum.
Motion carried.
Number 6 is Stifler.
Yeah, I can
see. Stifler's awesome.
He's necessary for those movies. Though.
Although the picture they have on this list is not from American Pie, it's from Road Trip.
Good eye.
Thank you.
John William Scott looks like John William Scott.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Pintel and Rigetti from the Pirates movies.
Oh, the zombie guys, the one with the wooden eye.
Yeah.
And his friend. And
Number 4.
Neutral on them, they're alright.
Number 4 is Willie Scott.
Yeah. I'm on the list.
Good call, Tom.
Number 3 is Ruby Rod from The Fifth Element.
That's right, Chris Tucker.
No, I love Ruby Rod.
Although that performance was good. The character in itself was annoying, but he kicked ass in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Chris Tucker is so funny in that movie.
Number 2 is Riley Poole from National Treasure.
Also known as the other guy from The Hangover. The one that does not get
it's
a lot of
Doug stuff. From The Hangover, right?
Yes, the Doug.
Yeah.
Number 1 is Jar Jar Binks.
Boom!
You know, again, I'm going to go against the grain. I didn't think Jar Jar was that annoying.
Oh, go to hell.
Oh, I will I will destroy you.
Is some people gonna die?
You think he's worse than Jake Lloyd in Phantom Menace, really?
I think he's worse.
That was the one computer-generated character number 1 on the list.
Because he was just that annoying.
Can I just use Anakin Skywalker in Phantom Menace
as
the most annoying sidekick? Because he's
psychic,
by far the most annoying character in that movie.
Yeah.
By far the most annoying character in that movie.
This is pod racing, Kevin.
Yeah, f*** that shit. Yeah,
holy
I barely
struck
used
a nerve.
That kind of profanity, but for that scene, oh my god, all the scenes in any movie ever, I've never been so mad as when he goes, yeah, this is pod racing. Oh, I'm gonna murder that shit. God, red rage. I'm sorry. Where was I?
F*** that shit.
Your rage there, Kevin. Kevin, you still there?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you have to take an epi shot?
Yeah. I had to go find some booze. I hate Jake Lloyd. And he's no better in Jingle All the Way either. But in Jingle All the Way, he's only in about 30% of the movie, maybe. He's like in 95% of Phantom Menace. So Charlie won that one.
I did. Number one. The feeling that I have now is what you could be having had you trusted your Black Panther instincts.
Right?
Movies again. Top 10 terrible TV movie adaptations. Movies based on TV shows.
Kevin, you pick first.
Pod Racing wasn't a TV show.
No, Pod Racing was not a TV show. Dukes of Hazzard was a bad remake of a TV show.
Yeah.
All right. Tom?
I will go with... I'm going to say Star Trek V.
The Undiscovered Country?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Okay.
That would be based. Is that the original Star Trek, but still at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Kirk and McCoy and Spock.
And God.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and God. And Spock's half-brother friend. Oh, and then Uhura, the old lady, does the fan dance.
All right, my choice, in keeping with our long-standing tradition of Michael Bay whenever possible, I will say Transformers.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally should have gone with that.
All right, number 10.
You missed out on picking the second one, though, Charlie. You should have picked Transformers 2 with Shuck and Jive.
Number 10.
What are those characters' names again? I don't even remember.
Flaps and Mud Skips.
My wife brought me pumpkin beer. I should be able to erase the memory of Jake Lloyd from Phantom Menace in my brain short.
All right, number 10 is Smurfs.
Yeah.
Number 9 is Yogi Bear.
I never saw it, but Dan Aykroyd was Yogi Bear.
Yeah, and Bill Murray was Garfield in those Garfield movies. Who cares?
That doesn't mean Bill Murray. He did the best job in that.
Number 8 is The Honeymooners.
Is that the one with Steve Martin? Which one?
Oh,
that's the one with Cedric the Entertainer and Mike.
Yeah, they African-Americanized The Honeymooners. That's right. I forgot about that.
Wasn't Steve Martin in the original one?
I don't remember
Martin
in a Honeymooners.
It was, what's his face?
Jackie Gleason.
No, I'm thinking of a
TV show.
I think about something else.
Okay.
Number 7
Let's
is
move.
Bewitched.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
Yep.
Number 6 is the new generation of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Land of the Lost.
Okay, I have a strong affinity for the Will Ferrell Land of the Lost.
That's I've heard it wasn't bad, actually.
Yeah, I liked it. It was pretty funny.
Danny McBride was awesome in that.
Number 4 is Get Smart.
Right.
I love that movie.
I loved the TV show. I didn't ever see the movie. I don't know. It just didn't look right to me.
I liked it.
Number 3 is The A-Team.
Now, again, a lot of people loved that A-Team movie.
With Liam Neeson?
Yeah, it was okay. I wouldn't say it was bad.
Number 2, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good job, Kevin.
Terrible remake.
Number 1 is Scooby-Doo.
Oh, we should have gone back to the Matthew Lillard.
That was a Star Trek movie not on there.
Okay, since I think we can all agree that Transformers is worse than The Undiscovered Country, I think Tom should go first. All right, what Jowski is pulling up now is the top 10 worst video game to film adaptations.
No,
the best...
The worst...
The worst, okay.
Film to video games.
So the movie came out, and then they made a video game about it. That's the...
I see. Okay.
Top 10 worst licensed video games would be the appropriate title.
Tom, you get to go first, so you should be able to take this one.
Well, I've been wrong every other time.
I think if you go with your gut on this one, you should win.
Oh, I'm going to say E.T. on the Atari.
That's probably the winner.
Oh my God, that is such a good choice.
We should all just say that.
I can't imagine it's anything else but.
Okay, alright, if it counts, I'm gonna go with 1941.
It's a good game, though.
No, actually, you know what? We were talking about the worst video games based upon movies. Alright.
1941 is just a game based on.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, it's just
the worst adaptation of the era.
Yeah.
No swing music or anything. Okay.
I gotta pick a different one then. I'm gonna go with. Damn. I don't know. This is difficult. I'm gonna go with the NES Batman.
I like that game, but
this is like 1990, 1991.
I like
it. It was hard as hell though.
You all locked.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one too.
We What did Kevin say?
My producer's telling me that I should pick Ghostbusters from the Atari. I am going to go with Dracula, Sega CD. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, that it was horrible.
All right. Number 10 is Warlock.
Okay.
On the Based on Warlock the Julian Sands movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Number 9 is White Men Can't Jump on the Jack.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Totally. Yeah.
I would totally play that.
What? 8, Dirty Dancing on the PC.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like a big, like one of those like big fish games with all the different mini games.
Number 7, Star Wars Masters of Terras Kasi on the PS1.
Yeah, I heard that game was terrible.
It is god-awful. I played that.
Number 6, WWE Crush Hour on PS2 and Xbox.
Never played it.
It was for my time.
All your favorite wrestlers driving trucks.
That sounds awesome.
Number 5 was Fight Club on the Xbox.
I disagree. That was fun as
I heard it wasn't that good.
I have this game.
It was fun.
It is. You can break people's arms.
I know, and you get to see the bones snapping inside the body.
And how many games can you beat up Fred Durst?
Right.
Number 4, Ghostbusters for the Atari.
I should have gone with that, except I think Tom's winning this one anyway. So. Well,
yeah. Number 3, Superman 64.
Oh, that game is terrible. Rings. Rings everywhere.
And then a really fast car.
Yeah. You have 5 seconds to remember how to play the game.
Number 2 is E.T. on the Atari.
That should be number 1. So what's number 1?
Batman on the NES. No.
No, it's not.
It's Jurassic Park Trespasser on the PC.
E.T. was worse. There's no...
E.T. was so much worse.
Yeah. I won one. Huzzah.
It wasn't number 1, but you did win that one, Tom.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
Let us try a list of 25 worst power-ups. And this is 25, so you've got a pretty broad range here to get on the list.
All right.
Worst power-ups.
Worst power-ups?
Yes.
Now this is all time?
This is all time.
Oh, God.
Here.
Okay,
This is weapons or items or...
I am going with the blue key in Gauntlet.
Warrior needs food badly. Warrior is about to die.
Oh, wait, no, I changed my answer. I'm going with the key in Pac-Man. Because you got a key in a game with no doorways.
Oh, no, I got it. Well, it's not really useless, but I just thought it was really stupid, but I'm going with it. The stupid, it was in Mega Man 1, the stupid laser beam that you had to jump on.
Hey, that thing was so useful.
No, I never used it. Well, that'll take a second, because I like the rush jump better. The rush spring pad, or whatever, the dog you jump on, he propels you higher.
The rush coil.
Rush coil, there you go. Was there even a part in the game where you had to use the laser thing?
Yeah, in the last castle.
Really?
Yeah, and Dr. Wily, it would put you in rooms where there's a ladder at the top that you have no way to get to.
Wasn't there, no, I just used the, I'd use the, because couldn't you drop 3 of the platforms that would hover?
Yeah, that isn't that what we're talking about?
No, I'm talking about, you get, isn't that the game where you get, No, it's like a blue laser, and it just shoots out, and it's a platform you stand on. What Mega Man is that?
That's Mega Man 1.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't recall using it, so I guess I won't say it's useless, because I don't remember ever, like... Cause, I mean, I guess you could use it, but...
All right, Kevin.
The frog suit from Super Mario Bros. 3.
That was useful.
Because on the ground, it was completely useless, and in the water, it just made you uncontrollable.
All right.
Changing my answer. Hold on. I don't want to do that one. I'm trying to think.
You mean you're trying to Google.
I'm not Googling. Do you hear typing? Ugh. Because I have so many, but it's like, I know it won't be on the list. Which is weird, too, because I was thinking about Super Mario Bros. 3, but I was like, well, what's useless?
There's plenty of useless stuff.
Well, it does piss me off when I'm like the Hammer Brothers suit, and I accidentally grab a fire flower. That pisses me off.
You know, it's useless. It's not on the list, though. The Tanuki suit. Because it's...
The statue's fun. I like it. Something that would be on that list.
You have rocked his world with this list.
Yeah.
There is so much in video games that suck. I don't know where to begin.
I need time to research this.
I can all I'm like that's going through my head are all the most useful ones. That's like all I keep thinking about.
I mean, for somebody who does not have a shot at winning this, you are really putting a lot of thought.
Well, there's a lot. Well, no matter what I say, it's
He's
not
playing
be fine.
For pride.
Yeah, I am.
In case anyone listening to this is gambling.
Oh, okay. I got one. In Zelda, you know how they had the blue and the red flame? Was there a difference?
Yeah, the blue flame, you could only use one once in a room. The red flame, you could just throw fire at everything.
And in that case, I'm going to change. I'm just going to say the regular boomerang, not the long-range boomerang, but the short-range boomerang in Legend of Zelda.
All right.
That's a good one.
Number 25, the laser gun in Contra.
I always remember using the spread gun, so...
Which was one of the best power-ups. Number 24, top spin in Mega Man 3.
No, because you can kill the last boss instantly with that. No, that one can't be on there. Last boss is killed instantly if you hit him with the top spin.
Really?
23, cigarettes in Metal Gear Solid.
Those steady you so you can aim. This is a horrible list. Those are useful.
Only in the
This list was clearly not written by a smoker.
Yeah.
Number 22, smoke in the Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
There you go.
Number 21, Army of Hades in God of War.
Hades.
Excuse me.
Because you're talking like it's more than one Hade.
Running shoes in Sonic the Hedgehog. Number 19, Klob.
Klob.
Number 18, the Shuriken from Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking of that, too. That thing is stupid. God damn it.
Number 17, the Excalibur from Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 16 is the Needler from Halo games.
Yeah, the Needler is pretty useless. Thing is useless.
Number 15, the Foam Finger from Dead Rising 2.
You get to show your pride at least.
Yeah.
Number 14, MAC-10 from Counter-Strike.
I hate Counter-Strike.
I
can't remember if the MAC-10 is useless or not in Counter. It's better than the pistol.
Number 13
right?
is the pistol from Call of Duty Black Ops, the M1911. No aiming. It shot one bullet at a time. Number 12, Speed Down from Gradius 3.
Who wants to go slower?
Wait, if you're going to count that as a power-up, I would have gone with the Poison Mushroom from Super
Number 11, the Poison Mushroom.
Not even fair. It's not a power-up, it's a debuff.
It had a mushroom with a frowny face.
Number 10, Heavy Weapons, Mass Effect 2.
They have some use, certain parts of the game.
I always like the shotgun, so...
Number 9, Blind, the spell in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, well, any status spell in any Final Fantasy game.
Number 8, the dagger in Castlevania games.
Yeah, pretty useful.
I am losing faith that Pac-Man is going to be in here.
Like, the dagger, you mean the knife? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, okay. Is it saying any Castlevania game or a specific one?
Any. It just said
no. Because in Symphony of the Night, remember you can use if you use the magic with it, you throw like 100 knives? That thing was awesome.
Number 7, Be in a Jar, Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
I got me a bee in a jar.
It just usually comes back and attacks you.
Number 6, Claw in Prototype.
I did not play Prototype.
Number 5, The Pistol in Wolfenstein.
Yeah, but you really have to use it near the beginning of the game, so...
Yeah, because then you get a machine gun.
Yeah.
Number 4, Child at Heart perk in Fallout 3.
I don't know, it gets you through, what's that place called? Little Lamplight?
Yeah.
Number 3, the Giant Snipe again.
Yeah, right.
Number 2, fake item boxes in Mario Kart.
Those things are awesome! What are you talking about? Debuff. What you do is you drive by right before you get to another item box place, you just drop it there so people accidentally run into it.
I think they mean picking it up.
Yeah. God damn it, I wanted the spiny shell and I got a fake item box.
The fake item box is awesome. I just explained the use for it. It is not useless.
Number 1, Secret Boots from Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Okay, I don't know what those are.
I hate
boots made Alucard a little bit taller. That's it. Not any of it.
Okay, and next time we do this game, it's going to be like, if it's video game stuff, it's going to be like before like 1997. That's what it's going to be.
All right. So the winner is Kevin.
Yay.
Woo!
You get to do the outro.
I get to do the outro? That's the prize?
What's the prize at the end of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Prestige, I guess.
You get to go up there and do a skit with Drew Carey.
No, you get to read the credits.
Oh, you get to sit there and do nothing while everyone else has to do the work. That's right. That should be my prize. You guys should get to do the outro.
Take us home, Kevin.
I got nothing.
Do it now!
Well, first of all, I'd like to wish happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there, and hopefully your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, or other significant other does not hate you for getting the wrong gift. And I'd like you all to visit www.geekjuicemedia.com. Check us out. Check all the sites out. We have a new contributor. I should mention that our new contributor, shouldn't I?
Yes, Fred Fritz is our new contributor.
Fred Fritz, Movie Apocalypse. Excellent series. Give it a watch. It's a lot of fun. That's about all I got. Everyone should go play Star Wars The Old Republic, because I'm on constantly.
Or Star Trek Online, because it's free.
Or Ping Pong.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really cooked. Isadora was the first bra burner. Ain't you glad she showed up? Country was falling apart. Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then there's
that uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing. Right on, Maud.